Well, it's good to see all of you back here this morning. I want to give you a brief update just in case you were visiting this morning, but you weren't here last week. We started off this series entitled Worry-Free Living, and this is the second part of it today. Last week, what I was trying to do was help give you a definition of worry and anxiety. We tend to refer more to the word stress today than we do worry. What really is the issue is our worries and our anxieties. Life comes at us full bore. It's kind of like standing on the railroad tracks, and the train of life comes down at you, and you start sweating bullets a little bit. And I shared with you last week that no matter how hard you try, you will never be able to change really the way life approaches you. But you can change the way you approach life. You can access different resources that you're not used to accessing. Now, we're going to talk about that today. It's entitled Accessing Divine Resources. And I want you to imagine for just a moment that you were able to access the most powerful force in the universe, the most powerful strength known to man or on earth to deal with your problems and the difficulties that you had. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And you may think, well, I don't really understand exactly what you mean. I want to give you a few simple examples of how we have reduced the worry and anxiety in our life with little tools in our world that are much more powerful, that work better at things than we do. So let me give you a simple example. Taxes. Taxes are coming up, and for many of you, it's a stressful time of year. We mean it's causing you worry. If you read the paper the other day, you're wondering if your electronic filing is going to get audited. Because if you read on USA Today, people who are filing electronically now, they're auditing them a lot more. They're looking for fraud. And so it's taking almost twice the time that it did last year. The average 21 days, now it's taking about 40 days. Or maybe you do your own taxes. Now, if you're like me, I do my own taxes because I don't have much. I don't own a house. I don't have all the interest deduction, that kind of stuff. I use the simple short form. And what I do is I pull out the new sheet of paper and I take last year's old one. And I look at the numbers and I fill in this year's numbers in the same spot last year's were. Only different numbers, see? But I'll tell you, the one tool that I use, that I access myself of, that has saved me tremendous worry and anxiety and work. You know what it is? Little dinky little thing sits on my desk called a calculator. Now, it has saved me because the hundreds of thousands of dollars that I'm adding up on my forms, I would hate to think what's going to happen if I didn't use the calculator, you know? I mean, I would hate to make a mistake that size. And I just push little numbers in there, add them together, push the subtract sign, you know, and add and plus and subtract, and you owe this. You know, usually something like that, or you're getting this back. Just simple little calculator. But imagine for a moment, if you fill out your own tax forms, if you had no calculator, no computer, and you had to do it the old-fashioned way. Kind of like Jethro in the Beverly Hillbillies. Ot, ot, double ot. You know, start ciphering on a piece of paper and subtract it all with your head on a piece of paper the long way. You know, like some of you, $75,286.69 minus these 8 deductions, multiply. You know, what a headache that would be. Just this little tool that we can access has changed the way we do taxes. Now, some of you, you are really high-tech. You've got that little thing called, well, I don't know what it's called. It's for your computer. And it's for your finances. And everything's on it. Your budget, everything. You just punch little buttons. All these numbers come up. You have a form already in there. You put out the numbers and boom, there's your stuff. Some of you, you're really sophisticated. You know what you do with all your tax worries and cares? You just go to H&R Block. That's real power, let me tell you. When you just walk to somebody and you say, well, here's my stuff. Call me when it's done. Let me know how much I'm getting back. That's really worry-free, isn't it? I remember when H&R Block was just starting. I mean, when nobody, there was no tax service other than for companies or corporations. The average Joe would spend hours poring over his receipts, and he and his wife would get together and there'd be fights and wars over why didn't you save that and where is this, and now you just take the stuff and hand it to a tax person. That's a practical way that you have accessed a strength, a power, a tool that's available to you that has made your life worry-free with regard to that. You don't worry about it. The only thing you're probably worried about is, oh my gosh, what if I owe $20,000? And I don't think anyone here in this room is in that situation. Most of us are going to look forward to getting a little refund back, and usually those folks will find you extra few dollars that you didn't know you were going to get. Or another simple example. You might be a naturalist here today. We've got some naturalists coming to Evergreen. That is, everything you eat has to be 100% natural, especially your bread. I remember when I was a kid what it was like for my mother to break 3 loaves of bread. It was a 6-hour project in the kitchen, by hand, no KitchenAid thing going bloop, 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 bloop. She would knead it with her hands because we didn't have a KitchenAid. And then she'd let form the little loaves and she'd let them rise on the stove and then put them in. Today, your 5-year-old can make bread. You've got a little Hitachi bread maker. Or a Panasonic or a Gumagachi or whatever you want to call it. And you just add a little ingredient and it's hassle-free. You think about all the things in our life today that are different than when you were a kid. Or when your mom and dad were a kid. You want to get somewhere. Some of you have driven 30 miles to get here today. Boy, it was tough, wasn't it? You went out, had to feed the horses real early this morning, you know. And you had to make sure that the sled was all in running order. Well, of course, we're kind of in the in-between season, sled and wheels. And you had to get the buffalo blankets all ready. No, you just took a key that accesses incredible power. You walk out to your little old car. Most of them have heat, sound, and vibrations that fill you with ecstasy in your little cup holders for your little caffeine fix. Oh, this is hard, honey, getting up so early. Get out in your leather upholstered seat, turn the key, and off you go 65 to 80 miles an hour down the highway, depending on who you are, and boom, you're here. Wow, that's tough. Do you know what's interesting? What's interesting is that with all the advances we have made in pragmatic living, in our logistics, in really, if you think about it, how worry-free, stress-free so much of our life is, we have made no progress as a people to reducing worry and anxiety and fear inside of us. And yet, for thousands of years, God has been available to mankind, and nobody's making use of Him. Nobody's using God how He intended us to use Him. No one has been accessing, or by and large, I'm saying the majority of the world does not access God. And I think it's time we step back and go, there's got to be a better way to live. Don't you think that if enough people, you know, let's just say for a minute, give you a little theory, all right? You decide you're tired of paying the high price of gasoline. And you decide to water down your gas. You can get by with a little water in your tank. So you start adding a little water to the fuel, stretch it out a little farther. And it sputters, it doesn't run quite as efficiently. But, you get some more for a little while. Then you water down a little more, you water down a little more. And pretty soon other people get the idea, and you notice, and as you're sputtering down the highway coming to a screeching halt, there's a whole lot of other cars that have come to a screeching halt. And you would think people would get the idea that it's not working. But Americans, we're just too ignorant. We see everybody crashing and burning. Our relatives crash and burn. Our kids crash and burn. Our spouse crash and burn. Our friends crash and burn. Nobody says, gee, we should reevaluate how we live life. Maybe we're adding too much water to the gas. Maybe we were never meant to run the way we run our lives. No, we just, well, let's pour more into education. Let's educate people better. That's what we need. We need to be more civil. We need to be more educated. We've become more educated and more civil, and we're more cruel and more brutal in this society than we've ever been. We're more stressed out. We're more worn out. We're dying earlier. Our lives are strained. They're worn. We are a joyless nation. Really, when it comes right down to it, we don't handle difficulties very well. We don't handle trauma. See, it didn't take a lot when there's no trauma. It's when the difficulties come that you really find out what you're made of and who you access or who you do not access. God never meant for you to spend your life burdened down. See, we got the wrong view of God. God never meant for you to bear burdens. He wanted to bear your burdens. He wants to be your beast of burden. We think God wants to lay all these trips on us. You know, we got to do this. This is going to be hard. And this is going to be hard. And God wants to make your life free from the burdens and the excessive weights and the struggles that you carry in life. That's what God wanted. And I shared with you last week in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary and heavy burdened." Well, I think there's a lot of us here who qualify. There's a lot of people in our society who qualify. "And I will give you rest." That's God's promise. Rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul." I'll tell you, I started doing this almost 20 years ago. It's been the best 20 years of my life. The last 20 years have been far better than the first 19. The last 20 have been marvelous years, even though I face the same challenges that many of you face in life. I have kids, you have kids. I have teenagers, you have teenagers. I have bills, you have bills. I have unexpected things break down. Not everything in my life goes like I wished it would go. But what I've discovered is that God keeps His Word. That God wants to get involved in our lives. And when we let Him, when we access the resources that He's given to us, it changes life. So I want to talk to you about the three divine resources that God has given to us. All right? These are three. You may think of more, but these are three that are essential for living. They will change your life. All right? The first one is faith. Faith. Now, when I say faith, I mean faith in God. All right? I don't mean just faith. I just believe. You know, like all these mushy, rushy songs about believing in yourself. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You can believe in yourself till you're blue in the face and not get anywhere in life. It's just wishful thinking. If your faith is not in God, then your faith is in the wrong place, in the wrong person. I am not talking either about optimism, for I'm not an optimistic person. Let me tell you a little something about life. In case you've been wondering this, you've been wondering, what is the Christian perspective about life? Does life really stink as bad as you think it does? Yes, and worse. Life, basically, without God, stinks. It is an exercise in futility. You might as well be a little rat in a cage on a wheel. You go nowhere fast. And you go round and round and round and round. You don't believe me? You can go home yourself, pick up this book, and go to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's right after the book of Proverbs. And you will find a very, very interesting, but very true perspective on life. Solomon, the wisest man, richest man that ever lived, he goes through his life. He goes through his scenario. He says, "I did this. I tried that." Solomon had 1,000 different women. Basically, they were the cream of the crop. He could have any time he wanted. He had what most men only dream about having. He had it. He lived it. He said it's all futile. God used Solomon. God used Solomon's stupidity to teach us a valuable lesson. He said, "I kept myself sober, and then I let myself get exceedingly drunk. And this too I saw was folly. For whether I'm drunk or sober, What meaning does it really have in the big scheme of life where I'm going to die anyway? I built these great things for myself, these great projects, but who knows, when I die, who will inherit them? Some fool might get a hold of them and ruin them. How many parents I know that I have known who have amassed great wealth only to leave it to a little fool who squanders all that they worked hard for? And who knows what's going to happen? Solomon says that in the whole book. But what he says is this, that life under the sun, in other words, life apart from God, is futile. It's empty. It's meaningless. And this is why, if you've ever wondered, this is why people do drugs. This is why they seek pleasure. This is why we buy into materialism with the vain hope, but it's still our hope, that finally I'll find some satisfaction and some meaning in my life. And for a brief time we do. That's why we get hooked into more. For a brief time we do, except it wears off. So what we think is, maybe I need something newer. I need a newer mate. I need a better looking mate. I need a better body. I need more toys. And we're like the little rat on the wheel, and we go round and round and round and round, and we die. Or just before we die, we're round and round, we look back on our life and we go, what was it really all about? I worried about my money. I worried about my CDs. I know some of you in this room are really scared to death of what's going on with the dollar in the world. Last 2 weeks, not a good week for you. Should I get in mutual funds? Should I get in this? Should I get in that? Should I pull out of the markets? Oh, we're worried. For what? For what reason? For what reason? They could all crash tomorrow, to be frank. It's all just a deck of cards. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan, and I'm not saying you shouldn't use wisdom, but apart from God, it's all futility. God changes the picture, and I want to share with you how. Jeremiah chapter 17, you can read this later on your own. Verse 7 says this, blessed is the man. I bet you've ever wondered, what does the word blessed mean? It means this, exceedingly happy and very fortunate. That's the kind of word we use for the couple who won the lottery the other day. And got to call up their boss. You know, if you read the article in the paper like I did, and said, oh, by the way, I won't be coming in today. There's not a one of us who wouldn't wish inside we could say the same thing. Take this job and give it to somebody else. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? I know. There's not a one person who wouldn't want to do that. Why? Oh, it's so because money would free me from the hassles of life. That is exactly what we think. Money would free me from the stress of driving in rush hour, the stress of going to work, the stress of dealing with the morons that I have to deal with. Oh, no, it wouldn't. You want to know how many relatives are going to be begging you for loans? How many people are going to be parasiting off you all of a sudden? You know what the Bible says in Proverbs? It says a poor man doesn't have any worries. The rich man, by comparison, they're just comparing the two here. The rich man's always worrying, wondering who's going to rob him, who's going to take his money, who's going to get the best of him. No matter what your lot in life is, it has stresses, it has worries, and God wants to take them. And so here's what God says. He says, blessed is the man, the person, the people, who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Trust, confidence, faith, it's all the same thing. That we trust the Lord, that our confidence is in God, you see, that our reliance is on God, that our hope is in God. Most of us just wish we had confidence for living. We're afraid, we face life fearful, we're intimidated, we're worried, we're bothered. But the person who trusts God in that way, they face life with confidence. They face life with a joyful expectation of what is coming next. Because they know God is a good God, and God has good things coming, even if they're wrapped in bad packages. He says this, this person will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It's one of the reasons we named evergreen, evergreen. Always green, one version says its leaves are evergreen. This is the way it is with the Lord, you see. When pressures come in your life, when the heat comes, you don't fear. Because you're like a tree. Your roots are down into God. See? And you have strength when other people don't have strength. Why? Because you've accessed that underground well. You've accessed God. You've linked up. You've interfaced with God. And then look at this. He has no worries in a year of drought. In the year of plenty, we don't worry anyway, right? It's when there's drought. It's when there's difficulties. That's when our worries multiply within us. And we're afraid and we're apprehensive and we're perplexed. He says, he has no worries in the year of drought and he never fails to bear fruit. That's an extraordinary way to live life. And that, my friend, can be for any single person in this room who decides to avail themselves of God. It is not for a select few. You don't have to be super smart. You have to be super intelligent. You just have to look around you at the world you live in and say to yourself, you know, there is a God. And there is a God who cares about me. He put all these resources on this planet for all of us to sustain us for these thousands of years. God cares about me. And I'm going to trust God. I'm going to allow God to get involved in my life. I'm going to put my faith in God. Do you know what Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When we fix our gaze on God, when we fix our eye, the eye of our soul on God, I know that when any situation I face, God is involved. And I don't live life apprehensively. I don't live life fearfully. I go forward with confidence, knowing that God is big enough to handle my world. God is big enough to handle all of the difficulties that I face. Therefore, I do not need to be afraid. I do not need to worry. I do not need to concern myself with all those things. I only have one main concern in my life, and that's God, as I told you last week, and His business, and what He is about. That's my concern. I put my focus on that. You can put the same focus in your life on God. And He will take care of the details. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will give you confidence for living. All right? Second thing, second divine resource that you must avail yourself of is prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It is not some boring thing that we do. It's interaction, intercourse with God. Learning to talk to God. Let me read you a Psalm or a Philippians. A verse out of the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4. Very interesting passage in the Bible. Some of you have probably heard it before, but I want to read it to you. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." I want you to imagine somebody saying that to you. Walking up to you just out of the blue, they say, "Tom, Sally, rejoice." "I don't feel like it today." "I didn't ask you if you felt like it." "Rejoice! Again, I'm going to say it again, rejoice in the Lord." You know where Paul's writing this from? Prison. Paul is in prison. He spent much of his life in prison. Now, it's important that you understand what kind of prison. It wasn't a prison with 3 square meals a day. It wasn't a prison with 2 hours of exercise privileges, weight machines, and bodybuilding trainers. It didn't have cable access, didn't have a library, didn't have computers, didn't have a soft bed, didn't have a shower, didn't have toothbrushes. Paul was in a hole in the ground. In prison. He had a few parchments, the quill, whatever he was using, and he writes to these Philippians, "Rejoice!" Now you know you have to conclude that Paul was either an idiot, he was out there, he was on drugs, or he knew something you and I don't know. I've concluded in my ears he knew something most people don't know, that God is available anytime, any place where you are, and that joy is possible. And look what he says. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. That's what he rejoiced. The Lord's right here. He's near. He's with you. Wherever you go. Don't be worried about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now this is a promise, and this promise is dependent upon an action. God will give you peace of heart. God will give you peace of mind. If instead of being anxious, you would pray. You would let Him know what's on your mind. Let Him know what's on your heart, and you'd be thankful. But I want to tell you what most people pray like. Most people pray like most men fish. They throw out their line, and they reel it back in. I was visiting with a young person one time, and they were having a real struggle about their singleness. They really wanted to get married really bad. So I went over this verse with them. They said, "Well, I've been doing that." I said, "Well, the promise here is that the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Now, you don't have peace, do you? Or you wouldn't be here all worried and anxious with me." I said, "Well, I guess that's true. But that's why I'm struggling with this. I pray, but I didn't get any better." I said, "Well, how do you pray?" He said, let me take a guess. Don't tell me. Most of the hour that you spend with the Lord, or the 30 minutes, it's all talking to Him about marriage, isn't it? "Well, yeah, how did you know that?" "Because you're not praying. You're worrying out loud to God. You're not casting your burdens on the Lord. You're telling the Lord, 'Oh Lord, I've got to get married. You just got, Lord, don't you see I'm getting old? Lord, please get me married. Lord, please bring a mate into my life. Oh God, please. Oh please." And man, are you stressed by the time you're done with that. So let me show you a more appropriate way. "Lord, I'm really having a really hard time with this single stuff. I really want to get married. You know I want to get married. Lord, you made me and know me. Duh, where have I been? You know everything about me, Lord. This is really hard. It's really hard. My friends are getting married and I'm getting older and it's something I've always wanted. So Lord, I just come here to talk to you about it. You know what, Lord? Just like the tax man, I'm going to give these things to you. You take care of it, Lord. I can't handle this. I can't deal with this. And you know what, Lord? Thanks that I'm single. Thank you, Lord, that you know what you're doing in my life. Even though it's hard, Lord, thank you that you're building my character." Oh, that's what it says, doesn't it? I forgot that part. With thanksgiving. I didn't know I had to do that. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. A prayer doesn't work. No, sir. Prayer is just an exercise in worry and fretting. And Lord, you know what? Thank you that even though I think I need this, you know I don't need it, or you'd give it to me. See, often, let me tell you a little secret about God. He withholds the things from you that you think you need because you don't really need them right now. What you need is the character that's provided to you when He withholds what you think you need. Did you follow that? You want me to say that again? Okay. Oftentimes, God withholds from you what you think you need because what you really need is the character that God gives you by withholding from you what you need. You don't need it right now. If you needed it right now, God would give it to you right now. The Bible says in Psalm 145 that He gives the animals their food at the proper time. God feeds every animal. He sees to it that every single sparrow, every single lion, every single cheetah has their food when they need it. And you're much more valuable than many sparrows. You go over Matthew 6:33 yourself. You seek first God, and God will see to all the details of your life. But you know, I know single people that this is how we trust God. "Okay, God, I give this to you." And then they date the next 100 people that come along, trying to find out which one's the right one. If you're going to give it to God, then give it to God and leave it with God. And leave it with God. Listen, if God could conk Adam on the head, put him to sleep, and wake him up with Miss Eve next to him, then you know God's the same God that He was some 8,000 years ago. And God can do the same thing for you. You just don't understand the Scriptures. You know what Romans 8 says? It says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not along with Him freely give us all things?" God loves to give. Did you know that about God? God is the most generous soul there ever has been. And He loves to give. And He gives to the wicked, and He gives to the unwicked. He gives to everybody. He rains on the just and the unjust. God is eager to give what is good. But God also wants to give you more good things just besides the things that you think would be good. God loves you. God cares about you. So all you have to do is obey this verse and it will work. Psalm 55 says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken up. How many times we get shook up? For weeks sometimes, months. What we got to do is go, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, this is really hard for me. This is a very difficult burden. Lord, I just give this to You. I leave it in Your lap like You leave your tax forms at H&R Block. You guys handle them. Call me when they're done. Lord, I just give these to You. And then you make sure you thank the Lord. Lord, thank You that You know what's best in my life. There's a habit in my life. You've got to develop this habit in order to access this divine resource. That I was always in my prayer times when I'm with the Lord. No matter how hurt I'm feeling, how grieved, how stressed, how heavy my heart may be, I give those things to the Lord, you see. He is the greatest therapist there's ever been. And He wants to and set your world back in order. But you've got to be willing to thank Him. And you know what happens when you start thanking Him? You realize that, hey, even my whole world caves in. God will not cave in. God, you know something that's interesting about God, another thing about God, is you could be in the shower, on the toilet, in your car, in the garage, at work, and God is available to you at any moment, any time, of any day. The president isn't that available. The police are not that available. Financial institutions are not that available. You know what I think of God like? I think of God, don't take this wrong, this is just a stupid, simple analogy. Like an ATM machine. Some of us forget what it was like years ago not to have them. None of us would think, probably most of this room have an ATM card. But many of you remember what it was like when you had to have cash and the bank was closed and no one would cash your check. It's a real bummer. Now you just go to a little machine. Most of you in this room don't even know what it's like not to have a cash machine. It's a boom and you get your cash. We wouldn't think of not having one of those and accessing that. And yet we'll go through life and not access God. He's better than a cash machine. And He's available wherever you go. You don't have to go to little locations. He's available in your house, in your room, right with you. He wants you to come to Him boldly without any fear or reservation. You have to be afraid of God. God is interested in you. The last thing that you need to access is this book. Without accessing this book, the other two will fall down, fall apart. You won't make it. All right? I'm going to read you a Psalm, Psalm 94, and verse, you see I wrote it down, verse 19, says this, when anxiety was great within me, Your consolation brought joy to my soul. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I felt that way when anxiety was great within me. And you know, anxiety is a funny thing. It's kind of like a rabbit. It multiplies really fast. It just multiplies and multiplies. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, faster and faster. And you feed it and you feed it and you feed it. One version, in fact, says, don't entertain worry. That's what we tend to do. We entertain worry. Worry, would you like a little, would you like something to eat? Can I get you something? Why don't you hang around for a little while? We let worry hang around and we feed it. God doesn't want you to do that. And so He says here, whenever my anxiety is great within me, Your consolations cheer my soul. What does He mean? What consolations? This book is full of divine comfort, divine promises, and divine guidance from God. And it works in life. I use it for my finances. I use it for my family. I use it for pastoring. I use it for teaching. Everything I know, I have learned from this book or other men and women who have taught me things from this book. Everything. And I go to it every day. I access it. In fact, I have a chip in my brain now after almost 20 years. A lot of it's pre-recorded. And I just draw on it daily, often hour by hour, minute by minute. When I'm exercising, when I'm in a conversation, when I'm dealing with my children, this book is being accessed in my brain, in my heart, for divine comfort and guidance. I'm going to Honduras in the month of April, and it's the first time I've been out of the country. I've been in other places in the States, but first time I've been out of the country. And I would be a liar if I didn't say there's joy and great expectation mixed with a little apprehension and fear. Wondering, will these people accept me? How will the translator keep up with how fast I talk? And if I slow down, how will I keep my train of thought? And how will it all work? And will I get a parasite from the water? And I don't want to come back really sick. But Lord, I believe you want me to go. And Lord, I don't know Spanish. And I've never been to college. And I'm not that bright. And God just, boom, brings me the divine comfort that I find, and I go over this, I have this actually this passage memorized, but I'll read it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says this, "Brothers, think about your own calling. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential. Not many of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are nothing. The insignificant despised nobodies to nullify the things that are." And my heart wells up with confidence. It's like, Lord, get me down there. I can't wait. I can't wait. See, I'm not a real bright person, smart person. You know, my favorite song in high school was a song by Janis Ian called 17. When I was 17, about that song came out. The first line goes, "I learned the truth at 17 that love was meant for beauty queens and high school girls with clear skin smiles who married young and then retired. And those of us with ravaged faces lacking in the social graces desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone. The small town eyes that gaze at you in dull surprise when payment due. It isn't all it seems at 17. It isn't. 17 stunk for me. I hated it. My face was ravaged roadmap. I didn't like going to school. I didn't like anybody looking at me. I didn't like looking at myself. I wasn't Mr. Anything. I was Mr. Nothing. Never went to a party all my high school days. I had very few friends. I did very little with anybody. I was a loner. I was alone. I didn't graduate with honors, and I didn't go on to achieve great things. And if it were not for this book, I wouldn't be here today. If it was not for this passage in the Bible, I wouldn't have the courage, the audacity to walk out here and offer you a thing. God loves to use weak people. And when my anxieties start multiplying within me, man, my little brain, my little heart just runs. These verses right here. When life gets real heavy for me, I go to Psalm 46. God is my refuge and strength, abundantly available for help in tight places. Therefore, we do not fear, though the earth crumbles and shakes and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. When there's earthquakes that go on in your life, when your world seems to be falling apart, you know where I go? I run to God. Where I go. I don't worry. I don't fear. I don't fret. When my name is slandered, when my reputation is knocked, and I'm hurt, and I feel grieved, I run to God. And God puts me back together. This book is filled with divine comfort. And God wants you to avail yourself of it. God wants you to make access of it. When it comes to my parenting, I don't worry about parenting. I go to this book. I have examined the book of Proverbs, and I have underlined in the book of Proverbs in yellow every verse on parenting. And I go over them regularly. Then when I go through the New Testament, I underline also in yellow or in pencil other verses related to parenting or how God parents, and I just follow God. He's the best parent that's ever been. You know what Psalm 112 says? It says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands, His children will be the mighty in the land. There's a secret right there to parenting. You don't fear God, you don't take great delight in this book, you don't have a prayer. Just that simple. Your children won't be mighty. They'll be intimidated. You'll never know what they might get into. You fear God. You love this book. You access this book. You rely on God to guide you through it. And then do it. And I'll tell you, men and women, your life will be a wonderful, joyful, happy experience, even though you might have difficulties. Let me just share with you three things in closing, all right? Three things. I want to just give you the reasons why I don't think we do these things. Okay? The reason we don't pray, in my view, is we're too busy. We would rather struggle through life than struggle to pray. And I'll tell you, if any lesson I've learned in life, it is far better to struggle to pray than to struggle with life. Life will beat you down, prayer won't. Eventually you get through the obstacles, the discomfort that you feel praying, talking to God. And just tell Him, you don't have to close your eyes when you pray. You know, I don't know what you were taught when you were a kid. The Lord's Prayer was not really a prayer to pray. It's just things to pray about and more. Lord, feed me today. Lord, I don't know where next. You know, that's what it was meant. God wants real interaction with you and I. We get afraid that we can't go to God. You can go to God. You don't have to be afraid of God. The reason we don't read the Scripture is we fail to realize the awesome treasure inside. If I wished I could go 5 more hours today with you, but your behinds wouldn't take it and the children wouldn't take it. I wish we could just go through this book and unlock the treasures in this book. This is the most phenomenal book that there is in the world, that there has ever been, and is still the bestseller and has been since it's been in print. It is phenomenal. And it's here for you to access. We allow ourselves to get lazy and negligent in the name of busyness. We must prioritize, reprioritize our life. If you are wondering, do I have enough time? You don't think you do? Give me a phone call. I'd be glad to go through your schedule with you, hour by hour. And I'll help you find some time. I mean that sincerely. I'll give you ideas on how to get in it and how to get it into you. It'll change your life. We don't believe God because we're afraid God won't come through. We're afraid that God isn't really there to care, and we'd rather struggle with life. You don't have to. You access these three divine resources and your life will change. Next week I'll end this series. The last and final ingredient that you need to live worry-free. You come next week and we'll discover it together. Let's pray. Lord, thank You this morning so much for Your Word. Thank You for Your goodness, Your faithfulness, Your absolute reliability. I wish, Lord, there was a way that I could get inside the hearts and minds of the folks here today and I could live their life for them. I can't. I pray, God, earnestly, you know how earnestly I pray for this daily, that people would really believe what's being said. That they would really hear, not just with their ear, but with their heart. That they'd go out today and do something about what they've heard and develop new life habits and access God in their life. Like we access all the other wonderful amenities that technology has provided. You've been the greatest amenity there's ever been. Help us, Lord. Help us. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your loving mercy and Your patience. In Jesus' name.